Let's talk some baseball. His podcast, as we said, does go on daily. Buster Olney joining us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line here on the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. Buster, always appreciate you coming on the program, and I guess we're all in the same boat in America. We just don't know what the future has in store for us, including the world of baseball.
No, and it's why, you know, there have been a couple of folks at ESPN who send out group emails and say, hey, what do you hear about when this gets started? And I always answer back, nobody knows. I said on SportsCenter last week that, you know, I think we got to think of Major League Baseball like a rowboat in a hurricane. Forces beyond its control. You know, Rob Manfred can't dictate anything. The Commissioner of Baseball, Player Association can't dictate anything. Teams can't dictate anything. It comes down to what's happening at the federal and state levels, and they're just going to have to react. And, you know, if they were to start in July, that wouldn't be a surprise to me. If there wasn't baseball this year, that wouldn't be a surprise to me either, because you just don't know what's ahead in terms of the fight against the coronavirus.
Buster, the one thing, the Major League Baseball draft, it wasn't even a piece of news. I guess it was maybe a supposition or maybe a let's put this out there on the table. Do you honestly believe there's a chance there won't be an actual draft?
Well, it's interesting the way that came out. I can tell you that that story, which was done first by the Associated Press, was read by so many people in the industry yesterday as a trial balloon. Like, what do people actually think about that they would defer it? And, you know, I was actually going to write something in a Sunday Notes column this weekend about it, because I reached out to people around who involved in baseball, not only at the professional level but also at colleges, and they just don't think that's practical, that you would not have a draft. First off, you know, there are small market teams who would prefer to defer the draft and cancel this year's draft and just push it back to next year. But you know what? they're going to be elite college players at the, you know, or even high school players who are going to want to become professionals sooner rather than later. And they may be coming from circumstances where they need the money, especially with everything going on right now.
So here's my question. If they didn't do it in a draft form, is everybody then a free agent?
Well, that would be my point on it. And, you know, Tim Corbin, who coaches at Vanderbilt, you know, sent me an email yesterday, basically said, look, it's a natural order of things. You got to move it along. Like, Vanderbilt loves their seniors, but they can't have them hold over because you got the incoming class of freshmen. And people, it has to move along. You can't tell everyone, hold in place for a year until it's convenient for Major League Baseball and the small market teams.
Buster Olney from ESPN with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. We talked about it, Buster, right before you came on. Bud Black talking about the possibility of multiple doubleheaders a week. Do you see that happening?
I basically think that you can take any preconceived notion of what a major league season should look like and throw it out the window, because whatever solution that they're going to come up with, guys, it's trying to make the best of a bad situation. So if you told me that you potentially could see games, regular season games, played into November, that wouldn't shock me. If you told me that there would be the potential for playoffs and World Series games in December, that wouldn't shock me, where you play them at warm weather sites, maybe a neutral site, like you were to play the World Series in Texas at the Rangers' new ballpark, or in San Diego, or L.A. And if you told me there were a bunch of doubleheaders, that wouldn't surprise me. If you told me that they would open up the rosters where there would be, at least at the beginning, when starting pitchers won't be in shape all the way back, that they would, say, have 40 players on a given team so they could handle some of the pitching, that wouldn't be surprised. I think baseball is going to be very open-minded about what product they're going to come back with, because, let's face it, it's not normal circumstances. And we saw it in 1981 when there was a player strike where they restarted baseball with an all-star game. In 1995, you know, they played their first game because of a player strike on April 25th. 144-game season. This is going to be a case where whatever they come up with, it's going to be to put baseball on the table for a lot of people who are to be starved for sports and some sort of a distraction.
How sticky is service time going to be?
I think it can be really sticky because, of course, the players from the player's perspective, not only do they want to get paid full salary, but they're going to want a full complement of service time, and you know, Major League Baseball and the union are currently talking about that. The one piece of advice I'd give to both sides, do not let this drip into the public forum. Do not allow conversations about money and arguing over somebody getting a full salary to spill into the public forum, because that would be ugly. You know, in the summer of 2002, baseball's collective bargaining agreement was up, and there was a disagreement on the two sides over drug testing and whether or not to implement that in baseball. And the union leadership recommended a strike. And this is less than a year after 9/11. And a group of veterans like Joe Girardi, I think Al Leiter, Robin Ventura, basically got on a conference call with the union leadership and said, no, we're not doing that. We are not going to go out on strike when this country is early in a war on terror and have an argument over compensation or drug testing or any other issue, because we know we would get pounded in the court of public opinion. I think the same thing would stand here, especially when, you know, in a few months we're going to know get a sense of the full impact of the coronavirus on this country. You better not have arguments over, you know, have baseball held up because of discussions about compensation and service time. Fans will not understand, and they will not want to hear it.
Buster Olney with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker Line, his Baseball Tonight podcast continuing on a daily basis, his Sunday Notes column on ESPN.com also ongoing. We had the Hall of Famer John Smoltz on yesterday. He said from a strategic standpoint, from a baseball standpoint, the Braves could have an advantage because they have a deep pitching staff. You agree with that assessment?
100%. I think they absolutely have an advantage. Now, I would say this, you know, the Nationals, who, you know, along with the Mets, look like to be the primary competition for the Braves. The issue with defending champions has always been that World Series hangover, and how will the pitchers bounce back physically? Well, for Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, an unintended consequence of all this is that they're going to get a little bit more rest, and that should help them. But I agree with Smoltz that in terms of volume at the outset, that the Braves will have an advantage.
Well, to me, bullpen, if you're eliminating 30, 40 games of bullpen wear and tear and these guys come in fresher and you've actually done – look, it's the strength of the team. More than anything else, I think their bullpen on paper is the strength of this team. And I have 40 games or whatever the hell the number is of less wear and tear on those guys.
There's no doubt I completely agree with you. And let's face it, if the season is truncated, and I'm just spitballing here, speculating, to 90 games, to 100 games, 120, 80 games, whatever it is, you're right. The first 40 games are going to be about the strengths of the bullpen, because the starting pitchers, and we know this from our experience in 1995, you know, they agreed to settlement of the player's strike on April 2nd. They played their first game 3 weeks later, and at the beginning, starting pitchers were throwing five innings, and there were guys that got hurt. There were starting pitchers that got hurt because they weren't in shape. So much of it came down to the bullpen, and so much of it will come down to the bullpen whenever they resume this year.
If we lighten it up a little bit, we actually had some fun with Tim Kirchen. We found out he can't dance. He went to his son's wedding. He just proved to the world that he can't dance. He really loves sitting down with Earl Weaver. You've been doing this long enough. Personality-wise, Curtis Granderson, I think maybe if people don't know, has been arguably the best guy in the last 25 years to pull up a chair with and have a conversation with. He's going to be gone. Who are some of the guys that you look back at your time, whether it's front office guys, managers, players, that you said, when I knew I was going to go talk to them at the ballpark, it was going to be a good day?
Oh, man. And I'm like Tim. I could sit here all day and give you the longest list. Like, I loved every spring training. I'd make a point of going and finding Chipper Jones and asking him, hey, tell me what you see. And it was incredible how often he nailed it. For example, that one spring training when Jason Hayward was going nuts and breaking windshields in spring training, I bumped into Chipper. I'm like, hey, what do you think of Jason Hayward? And in a roundabout way, he said, you know, Freddie Freeman's going to be the better hitter. I was like, really? You know? And he goes, yep. And he explained everything about the swing. He was exactly right. One spring, Chipper Jones said to me, see that kid? He's the best defensive middle infielder I've ever seen. And it was before this person played an inning in the big leagues, and it was Andrelton Simmons. And, of course, he was exactly right. You know, I loved covering David Wells, Boomer, when he was in the Orioles and in the Yankees. My favorite conversation with him, he came from a crazy background. He was kind of half-raised by Hell's Angels, single-parent home. And I asked him once, he said, when you were a kid, what was the craziest thing that you ever did? And he kind of paused and looked in the air. He was really mulling it over. He goes, well, I blew up a car once. Talking about when he was a kid, and I felt it was an absolute gift from the baseball gods that the first superstar I got to cover was Tony Gwynn, who was, in the way that he talked about, first off, he loved to talk baseball. He was so smart. He had such deep insights, and he spoke anecdotally. So when you would ask him a question about something that happened in the game, he would basically, you know, talk about a game-winning hit like this. I was in the on-deck circle, and I turned to Phil Plantier and said, if this guy comes in and throws me a slider, I'm going to turn on it, and I'm going to drive into the gap, and we're all going to go home. That's how he told baseball stories, and me as a young reporter, thank God I had that.
Did you have the moment? I mentioned something. We did some Twitter Live stuff, and I've talked about it on the air. Liam Mazzoni and I, in 1996, when the Braves played the Yankees, we were in Yankee Stadium about 2 o'clock, and we were in the Braves dugout. And we, like little children, we just said, are we supposed to, can we go over to the Yankees dugout? And this is a grown man who's been around baseball for a long time, and I'm a kid who sat 2 rows from the top at every game I ever went to. We went into the Yankee dugout and just sat there and said, do you believe who's been in this space, and do you believe what's gone on that field out there? Do you have sort of that, I know I'm here to work, but my God, this is pretty damn amazing.
Oh, yeah. And you mentioned about, you know, the Yankee dugout. One guy that I got to know through the years was Don Zimmer, the longtime coach. You think about, he was like baseball's Forrest Gump. You know, he was teammates to Jackie Robinson. He saw the 62 Mets. He's part of the 62 Mets. He you know, all the Cubs stuff. I absolutely have moments like that when you think back to, you know, the places you've been and the people you've gotten to talk to. And you know, when Jeter had the flip play, I was there. You know, that amazing 2001 World Series after 9/11. You know, to see all that and to see the fans' reactions and for the first time, people actually rooting for the Yankees after 9/11. I was behind home plate when David Freese had the amazing Game 6 in the 2011 World Series and, you know, saw the two runners cross home plate when he hit that game-tying triple with two strikes in the bottom of the ninth inning. Absolutely, you have those fans' moments.
And also, we talk about, speaking of crazy, it's the 20-year anniversary of the Braves capturing the World Series, and that was also the last time we played a shortened baseball season. People that are a little bit younger, Buster, probably don't remember the fact that replacement players were actually used for the first 3 weeks of spring training, and then you had the players come back in after an injunction, the real players, so you had 3 more weeks of spring training with the so-called real players. It was really an insane time.
It was an insane time, and it was interesting. When they resumed play, the anger that continued from veteran players toward those replacement players who played on teams was enormous. 2 years later, when I was covering the Mets for the New York Times, one of their better pitchers was a guy named Rick Reed, who was very effective, but he'd been a replacement player, and those guys were not allowed in the union meetings. Like, that whole thing was a big deal. The one team that refused to participate in 1995 was the team that I was covering, the Orioles. Peter Angelos, their owner, wouldn't field replacement players, in part because he thought that, you know what, if we play games with replacement players, that would end Cal Ripken's streak. And so he is the most stubborn human being ever, refused to participate, and when they settled the strike, after that, the Orioles' spring training schedules always involved the worst travel ever because that was punishment from the commissioner's office for the fact that Peter Angelos wouldn't participate with the replacement players.
Let me just ask you about managers real quick. I'm not telling you they're not a group of good guys. I enjoy some of the younger guys very much. I'm not telling you they're not smarter, maybe in a lot of ways. But baseball stories, the idea of sitting in a guy's office, I said the biggest change in baseball, people asked me last night, what's the biggest change in 26 years? I said, having a beer with a player after a game, having a beer with a manager after a game, that's not going to happen, I don't think, anymore.
Not in the same way. Now, look, you know, I worked with Aaron Boone, the Yankees manager, and so I, you know, still get that experience with him. Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, known him a long time. I still get to have, you know, moments like that. Alex Cora, you know, out as the Red Sox manager for now. I wouldn't be shocked if he were to come back next year. You know, I'd have that, but you're exactly right. There was a time last September we had the Mets on a Sunday night broadcast, and I was talking with Pete Alonso in the middle of their clubhouse. And during that conversation, I looked around, and guys, there were about 20 players in the room, and I noticed not a single pair of players were talking to each other. They were all on their phones. And that's not a criticism. That's just where we are. I've got a 15-year-old. I've got a 20-year-old. that's how that generation connects with each other. They would send text messages. They do send text messages to people who are across the room as opposed to having conversations. You know, those old talks over beers, that doesn't happen anymore.
Well, Buster, hopefully we'll be talking about baseball in general, as in the games themselves beginning in the not-too-distant future. Hopefully we could talk again about that the next time you join us. As always, we appreciate the time.
That sounds great, guys. Take care.
Buster Olney with us from ESPN on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line here on The Fan 680 and 93.7 FM.